And welcome, everyone, my dear friends and fellow starseed around the planet, to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box of convention with Patricia Corey. And I guess the two ideas are synonymous. If it's Patricia Corey, you're going to be outside the box, as witnessed by several videos I've got out there and some very interesting comments about them. So today is not any different, and I will be exploring. I'll do something really new today, which is an interactive kind of show where I'll be pointing out images on one of the top crop circle researchers' website, Lucy Pringle, and I'm going to walk you through some of my experiences over the last 16 years, because I have a lot to say about the crop circle phenomenon, as you can well imagine, especially being just back from Glastonbury and Wiltshire in the fields. But before I get into this, I do want to just, lots of questions are coming in about a few things I've got cooking. One of them is the Peru journey, the sacred journey, which is called the Path of Mastery. This is guided by the top Andean shamanic teacher in Peru. His name is Malku. Many of you may know him. It's quite an honor to work with him. He works with, I think he works with Greg Braden. He took a group for David Icke, and so I'm quite honored to be working with him side by side doing a shamanic journey. So time is running out. I've got to close this registration packet and get all the rooms, everything lined up. If you are interested in this program, which is October 12th to the 25th, I really need you to take care of business now and investigate it. You can write to me at info@syrianrevelations.net. And I will be sure to get you the information so that you can make a decision based on fact rather than just an idea of what we're doing. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I want to send my love to everyone who I affectionately call my soul family who was with me in England this year. We had another magical mystery tour of galactic proportions, including a night watch sitting up on the top of a hill, the most freezing night of my life. And everyone was bold and brave, and we managed to be up there in a group with Charles Mallett, who is the manager, let's say the owner, I guess, of the Silent Cafe in the middle of Crop Circle Country. So if you're listening, thank you, Charles, for guiding us through that process. Of course, we were all, as we were up there, shivering to death. Really, try to believe this. In the world of Indiana Jones in which I live, you do a lot of crazy things to get the scoop. And staying on top of a mountain or a hill, let's call it a hill, in the most freezing England, rainy, windy, windy, cold weather from, let's say, 8 p.m. to 4 in the morning, that takes dedication. And so I laud everyone who had the courage and determination to sit up there with me and Charles. And even though we didn't get any firsthand crop circles being formed or UFOs flying overhead like we did in my Egypt group, it was an experience being there with all my star family and seeing other people committed like I am to having such experiences. So I loved it. Thank you for being there with me. Alrighty, I just heard the plink plink of Skype, so I'm just going to put on my do not disturb sign and move forward. Okay, what else have I got to touch base on? Let's see, anything else important before I move into this? Ah, I would also like to announce that next week, 2 weeks from now, on the 18th, I'm honored to have Dolores Cannon on the show. She'll be talking about the Three Waves of Volunteers, her book. And I would also like to tell you that I'll be a guest speaker at her event in London, the Transformational Conference, which runs from 31 August to 2 September. I'm speaking on the 2nd for any of you that are there and can make it. Okay, that said, let me move into the meat of the show today. I'm going to be talking about Crop Circle, 16 years of experience. So going back there every year, I've gathered some firsthand information. Some of it I've shared, and some of it I have not, because I really am about helping people get their own experience and not dictating what anyone else's experience should be, could be, or might be. But today I feel compelled to talk a little bit more in depth about some of the amazing things and not so amazing things that have happened over these years. So I think a great way to do this, since you are on the computer or you wouldn't be able to hear me, is to invite everyone that's listening in to go to www.lucylucypringle.co.uk/images. And you should have appear to you, I'm going to go as well, the most really a beautifully concise and easily readable calendar, let's say, or library, better yet, of different crop circles that have been, she's photographed over the years. Lucy Pringle is one of the top crop circle researchers and photographers throughout the phenomenon, and she's got quite a collection there. And what I love about this site is that she's not proselytizing about what they mean. She's just giving you the information. So have a look at that. Get it up on your screen, and I am going to begin to start with my 1996 experience, which many of you have already heard about, but bear with me as I walk everyone through it again. By the way, I also, when I say interactive, I would love for your questions, or maybe we ran into each other in a crop circle over the years. If you'd like to call in toward the second half of the show, please jot down the number. Here it goes. 888-429-5471. This is a toll-free number for U.S. and Canada. The number again, 888-429-5471. I'll start taking calls toward the second half of the show. All righty. So by now you should have pulled up Lucy's page, Lucy Pringle's photographic library. And I'll be referring to that as I go through the show. Now, in these many years, I have encountered some very exciting people, very knowledgeable people, and some quacks. Some psychics, extraordinary scientists, every genre of person that spans the spectrum from the extraordinarily analytic scientific left-brainer to the more Pat Corey intuitive psychic experiencer. And it's just amazing that we keep returning year after year after year. It is a phenomenon that never tires and never ceases to amaze. Let me give you a little bit of background about this. Now, I know many of you are already crop circle enthusiasts, so please excuse me if I repeat things you already know, but I always, as I am on the air and not sure who's listening in, I like to create a common base of knowledge and from which to move through the show. According to Andy Thomas, who is one of my favorite crop circle researchers, he organizes the annual Glastonbury Symposium. About 250 crop circles appear year-round, every year, around the world. And this has been going on for decades. Read my lips, for decades. In fact, there are records of crop circles, which used to be called the Devil's Circles, far back in the 1900s, 1890, I think, one appeared that was depicted in a publication. So this is really not necessarily a new phenomenon, but for the sake of argument, let's say that it has become predominant in the alternative minds, which would embrace all of us, I believe, for the last couple of decades. Crop circles appear predominantly in a region that I describe as the triangulation, and that would be the sacred site of Avebury Stone Circle, Stonehenge, and Glastonbury. This year, it appears a lot more appearing outside that region. We have an interesting formation in Germany, and there's a relatively new one in Washington State in the USA. Some people call it the Mickey Mouse Formation. You can look that up later. when I've gone through the show. But there is a buzz about that, and I'm not sure about any of it. I'm just giving you the data. Despite our recent awareness of them, which I would suggest was brought to public awareness in 1991, when pranksters Doug Bower, or I think he pronounced his name Bower, excuse me, and his pal Dave Chorley claimed they invented the formations for fun, for pranks. These are guys in their 60s who managed to drag heavy planks of wood around the field, as they tell it, to create these formations just for fun and just for a spoof with the public. Despite the fact that these were already reported centuries before them, they wanted to take the credit for the whole phenomenon. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Doug and Dave and their attesting to have been able to create these monumental formations with a plank and a couple of ropes. And even when they were reporting it, there were other crop circles of mammoth proportion being reported in other locations. So despite the embracing of Doug and Dave's story by the media, most people had a hard time believing that these two semi-drunk guys were able to create anything other than a lot of noise about their own prowess. And the debate rolls on as to who are the human makers and what are the other options. We've seen reports throughout the decades, people talk about light balls, and that's definitely what's causing them. UFOs hovering and beaming light down, and that's definitely what's falling in. Extra dimensional contact, which is something I like to think about. Aliens walking around, glowing lights in the fields. And I can say that although some people attest to having proof, there is still to date, no proof, tangible proof of any one explanation for what's coming down, at least nothing that I've encountered. Lots of extraordinarily incredible footage, images, but nothing that we could call proof. And included in proof cannot be a subjective opinion or a retelling of what someone saw. That can be only proof to that person. Certainly what I experienced is proof enough for me, but that doesn't mean it's your truth. It means it's my truth. So I've been a little bit reticent to share those personal, powerful images, things that occurred in the fields, and try to remain relatively neutral about the whole phenomenon, as I would like to say any reliable researcher or crop circle investigator would do. But you just can't help it sometimes in the euphoria of the experience to come forward with experiences that we've had, laughing for 3 hours uncontrollably in a crop circle with some people, hysterically laughing, a phenomenon that happened only once to me in one of the fields, visions, all of this I'm going to go through step by step. So every crop circle brings a new situation, a new dynamic to experience, and everyone's experience, as I always say, is right for them. So what I'm attempting to do today is just give you some of my personal experience, because I know that you'd like to know it, and I'm coming out, as they say, out of the closet. Some people, like me, do believe that these are extra-dimensional or extraterrestrial communications from another dimension, and these would be intent upon perhaps being a part of the disclosure process that awakens human beings to the reality of life beyond our realm, or perhaps the higher intelligence of a galactic family that is intent upon communicating with the human race now in a very positive way. Others are convinced or trying to convince us that these are just highly orchestrated, designed pranks of, let's say, talented geometrists. Is there such a word as geometrist? Or engineers, designers, who gather together and manage to make 300-wide, intricate, complex images during the cold of the night, in 4 hours of darkness at night in England in the summer, and that their intention is either to do this as a big joke on humanity or to dispel the whole myth. Some people even suggest that they do it to keep a certain economy going in a region that, without the crop circles, doesn't really have a whole bunch of tourism. So I like to explore all these aspects. And, you know, let's face it, we've got a buzz on our old channels. The buzz is, this is a real one. This is not a real one. This can't be man-made. There's no way it could be man-made. And we go on and on and on about this. The only way I believe that you can really have an answer about that is to get yourself into these fields and see what you feel. Aside from the fact that some of them look pretty hokey, there are incredible phenomena going on inside of them. So hopefully if you've gotten in already, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you want to get to them pretty soon, because after this year, I'm convinced, as I reported last year, that the phenomenon may very well be coming to a slow and an eventual halt. That would be according to the Syrian High Council, because we are now going to be looking upward into the sky, which is the new screen for the human collective consciousness, and that we will be seeing such designs in the sky, which would be very, very interesting. Okay, meanwhile, I would like to say that no declaration of the ownership of these designs, no negation of the phenomenon by people who just poo-poo the whole thing, no media rebuff can explain away the amazing phenomenon, the artistry, the depth of information, the awesome scientific and geometric precision in all of the occurrences that are happening in these formations. So, whatever is behind this phenomenon, it has amazed and bewildered us for decades now, and we're still no closer to having a definitive explanation or proof why they came down, how they came down. We just know they're there. Lots of conjecture, scientific hypothesis, but nothing proves either side. So I love the fact that many people like Andy Thomas never set an opinion about anything. Here's the information. Look at the pictures. You decide. And I really, really believe that we're getting some sort of imprinting just from looking at these formations. And it is about expanding human consciousness. This, I now want to come out all out and say, I have been going to these formations since 1996. And that makes me, I think, what would you call me? A true Trekkie. A crappie. A crappie Trekkie. I had my first experience in a crop circle called the Julia Set at Stonehenge. So I'd like to start today's program with a brief recounting of that experience. Apologizing again to those of you who have heard the story or read it in the book. I'll make it brief. So you do have, hopefully, the website up, and I'm going to ask you to take a look by clicking on 1996, July. And when you do, you will see in the second row, the first image in the second row, its title says Opposite Stonehenge. Please open that. Click up that image. Now, it warms my heart to see this image every time. I affectionately call this my crop circle because of how it changed my life so drastically. I'd like to quickly tell you the story one more time with more detail. I was studying color therapy in a college in England at the time. I had a 4 o'clock wake up from a dream. At the time, I wasn't channeling the council, so this was just boom, awake. And before I woke up, I heard a messenger, as we all do in our dreams, a voice that said, "Pay attention to this image." And I saw in the dream this exact image, this spiral, and it was across a road from Stonehenge in the dream. And I remembered how much bigger it looked than Stonehenge. And in the dream, I was told to pay attention. It was a lock-on point for extra-dimensional communication, and it would be extremely important to me. And it was so jarring. I woke up in a college. I was in a dorm in this school with other people, and I drew it out in the dark so that I wouldn't forget it and didn't want to disturb anyone else who was sleeping. So I scribbled it out and waited for the sun to rise. And the next day we went to Glastonbury for a weekend retreat, just a weekend off. And bam, in one of the bookstores is this exact, the replica exactly of what I had drawn on the wall in a bookstore in Glastonbury. Needless to say, it really, really blew my mind to see something so precise looking back at me that I had just seen in that dream and been told it was extra-dimensional communication contact point and to pay attention. So I did. I paid attention, all right. I took a picture of this postcard from the shop, and when we superimposed it on what I had drawn, it was identical. So one of the professors said, "You need to get into that crop circle. Forget the course." And off I went, and the rest is history. There, I had 2 hours missing time, out-of-body experience, where I was truly taken somewhere far, far away in the galaxy. And I remember turning into sound, spinning out of body, turning into sound, and just disappearing as a vibratory essence. Okay, I've just had a request for the website to be named again. I'm talking about www.lucypringle. It's LucyPringle. That's lucypringle.co.uk/photos. Okay, so I will give you a minute to bring that up again, and you're going to be clicking on the opposite Stonehenge is the image I'm talking about at the moment. The crop circle itself is called the Julius set. All right, I got there. I started to tell you about losing time completely, out of body completely, and finally coming careening back into my body 2 hours later into this field. I would also like to say that when I was going into the formation, everything's happening at the same moment here. I've got a caller on my end as well. When I was going into the formation, I had a sensation of something or someone pulling at my shirt, pulling me in physically. It was as if there was a person or a being tugging at the shirt. That's how strong it was, and that was before I was even in the crop circle. All right, hopefully you're looking at this formation now. It has 151 circles, and they are in Fibonacci sequence, which I hope many of you understand. If not, you can look it up later. It has to do with... Oh, my! Everything is ringing, possibly. I'm on the radio. Thank you. Isn't this fun? I guess the Julia set is activating everything. Okay, 151 circles. And here's what's very exciting and very interesting about this. This formation, which you can see is utterly meticulous in design, came in on this field under 45 minutes of time in plain daylight on one of the most tourist-trafficked roads in Britain. This road goes right by Stonehenge. Stonehenge is the major tourist destination in England, so there's like no way possible that you could miss this occurring. The story goes that a pilot was flying overhead, carrying a passenger in a Cessna plane overhead, over Stonehenge. He always flew this route that flew over the monument, Stonehenge. At 5 p.m., read my lips, on a July summer day, he flew over, and it was business as usual with Stonehenge underneath him. Most likely, he pointed out Stonehenge to the passenger, right? I mean, it's not like he would ignore it. He dropped off his passenger at her destination. 45 minutes later, his passenger reported driving past Stonehenge and noticing that cars had come to a complete standstill and that people were getting out to look at something going on in the field next door. So there was something fast that happened. People reported some sort of an energy vortex that they couldn't understand. They were just dumbfounded. They just stopped dead. But nobody saw any people. Nobody saw anything except this, let's say, buzz of energy or some kind of a vortex they couldn't explain. When he flew over 45 minutes later, he saw this formation in the field. Now, I would like anybody who's got an idea to explain to me how such a diagram, such a perfected geometrical symbol of such intense proportion, 151 circles, how possibly this could have come down in 45 minutes in pure daylight and nobody actually saw anybody doing it other than this energy field that was described by a number of people. Some people referred to it as some sort of a, it looked like there was something spinning in the field, but nobody talked about anyone in the field. So bear in mind, if you just look at this image, imagine what it would have taken. Let's go with the devil's advocate that 40 people were sitting there drawing these circles. Surely we can all reach a conclusion that it's highly unlikely explanation for what's going on here in this image. This image is a mathematical design which describes Fibonacci sequence, which is a pattern or ratio of growth of 1.618 to dimension before it. So in other words, if you have an inch, the next segment will be an inch, 0.618. The next segment will be the combination of those, et cetera, growing at the rate of 1.618. And interestingly enough, this Fibonacci sequence is witnessed in very many things that grow in biology, in earthly biology, leaves, flowers, many biological elements grow in that ratio. So that's pretty interesting. Even the human being has a Fibonacci sequence in its own patterns of growth. And here it is sitting in a field in the middle of the day with coming down in 45 minutes, I repeat. So I would like to describe what happened to me there because it's very personal and it's huge and immense. And I've never had anything like that happen to me again in any of the other crops. So here's the real story. Most of you who've read my books know that I talk about the experience of getting out of body, etc. But you may not understand or have heard what actually happened to me after. When I came back into my body, the weather had changed, the light had changed because it was 2 hours later. And I was in a complete state of flux. I was having a hard time getting back into body. And when I sat up, I was very dizzy, almost sick, actually. And the professor who had brought me there, had come to find me. And he said, "Patricia, are you okay?" And I apologized. I said, I think I might have fallen asleep for a few minutes. And he said, "You've been out for more than 2 hours," which was a shocker. Talk about lost time. And he said, "Do you need help to get up?" And I said, "No, I just need a moment here to gather my wits." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to go get the car because I'm parked way down, and I'll meet you at the entrance to the field." Now, at the entrance of this field, the farmer's wife was taking collections so that all the people that were trampling through their field were at least giving them a pound each so that they could recover some of the loss of the crop. And as I walked back, I encountered huge, huge plasma balls. They were like, the best way to describe them was like looking at a lava lamp, only gigantic formations floating, bubbling over the formation. And I'm delighted to say that I'm not the only one who saw these, because the validation of having other people experience these things is very important to me. So I saw these immense, let's call it a lava lamp, if you will. I saw discs spinning around, light discs. They looked like little planets that were sparkling and buzzing around near the plasma. They were mostly golden and yellow colored. The sound was driving me crazy. It was a whirring sound. It was, that's right, not worrying, whirring sound in my head. And as I walked, dizzy, it looked like, I'm sure somebody must have thought I was drunk, if anybody was even concerned about what I was doing. I ran into these two men in black, which I remembered later, because after the experience, a veil was put over me, and then later, when I was in the Barge Inn pub, Steve Alexander, who was another crop circle researcher, came in and was showing some video footage and talking about Men in Black, and this veil was lifted, and I recalled vividly that as I was walking out, there were these two characters that were, they looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I kid you not, and they were both dressed in black suits. I'm talking the MIB perfect story in front of me. Black suits, a skinny tie, the complete 1960s sort of look. Cropped hair, like flat top, cropped hair like military style. And as I walked by them, one of them was carrying something that looked like a suitcase. It actually looked like something like a Geiger counter. And he lifted up his arm straight out. And in my state of confusion, I looked and I remember thinking, what an odd way to carry something so heavy. And as I thought that, they both looked over at me menacingly, I might add, in tandem. And that was my Men in Black experience. I knew that that was not a good thing. It didn't feel like a good thing. For the rest, it was a stupendous experience. There were Tibetan monks in there, lamas, native leaders. This was a huge, huge development, this crop circle formation. So if you're interested in the phenomenon, you really need to really explore this image and spend time with it, even meditate on it, because something gigantic happened there. This was a shift in the whole experience and the whole phenomenon. All right, I will be starting to take, I can't believe it, half an hour, and I have just, I've only talked about this, which means I'm not going to make it through 16 years of experience. Now let's consider this Crop Circles Part 1 with Patricia today. Otherwise, I'm going to give myself a, can't believe it, time warp, talking about losing time, right? Alrighty. That same year, after I left England, the famed film of balls of light forming in a formation like a snowflake happened at a place called Oliver's Castle. You may have heard about this. You may be familiar with this footage. It was kind of, it's just an ongoing, to be honest, pain in the neck, because there are people that debunk it, there are people who swear by it, and there are people who say that it's completely photoshopped, or however you photoshop a video. But it shows balls of light over a field, and then in a nanosecond, underneath these balls of light, this formation forms that is an interesting shape. It's a star flake. Let me see. A snowflake, sorry. I'm going to find it so that we can discuss it together on the site. Where are you, snowflake? I believe. Hold on a sec. Okay, let's look at August. There it is. Oliver's Castle, if you click on 1996 at the top row and August in the second row, you've got about eight images that come up, and this one is called Oliver's Castle. Very famous in the crop circle world. I didn't get into this one because after the experience I had at Stonehenge, I managed to scrape myself together and get on a plane home, and 2 weeks later, I was channeling the council. So I missed a lot after that, but who cares, right? So this is a very important crop circle, but for nature of the fact that it is still today extraordinarily controversial as to whether or not what that footage was is actually a crop circle being formed and caught on video or a hoax. Now, we all want to believe these things, and I certainly am looking for that unquestionable imagery or footage, but the truth is that it appears, I'm saying appears, rumors fly on this. Rumor has it that this formation was connected to the Discovery Channel and that Discovery Channel was behind the footage. And then when it was divulged that it was a hoax, they yanked the footage from the channel. I don't have validation for that either way. That's just the rumor mill that I live in as a croppie. Over the years, you can investigate this. You can find this footage, I'm sure, by investigating on the web, Oliver's Castle, Balls of Light, Crop Circle, or something to that effect. But I would hope that you don't do it now if you stay with me so that we can continue our journey through the years of my experiences, which, why did I think I can talk about 16 years in 50 minutes? Optimist. Right, okay. Now, I would also like to point out that that summer, unfortunately, again, after I left, what followed the Julia set in Avebury Truslow in July really blew everyone's mind. It's called the Triple Julia set. Please go back to July on Lucy's site, July 1996. So you'll need to click again on 1996. And July, and take a look at this amazing, amazing formation called Avebury Truslow. This one, most experts say, is probably one of the most perfect crop circles that has ever come down. Understand that these are measured by experts, geometrists and sacred geometry, etc., and the impeccable ratio and dynamic of sacred geometry in this is perfected down to the very last miniature little circle down there. So I would have loved to get into that one, and I'd love to hear from anyone that did, because that, again, these crop circles, even if this one did come down at night, I would like to remind you that in England in July, night is about 4 hours. So a whole busload of guys would have to find their way into the field in the dark. It's too ridiculous to even try to explain what would have to happen for them to be able to make something as exquisite as this formation. And I'd like to also say that what I've seen this year is by and large pretty underwhelming. When you're looking at things like this in the days of the unquestionable perfection of the formations, this year leaves a little to be desired. That's why I do believe that it's winding down. Even though there are new formations coming in as we speak, we've had a few new ones. take a look at this one and imagine what it would have felt like to be in there. So, okay, wow. We've got 20 more minutes, and I'm still in 1996. All right, let's click on now. I'm going to take you into 1997, so please go back. It's a great site, isn't it? I repeat, unfortunately, I left, so I didn't have any other experience. But on the other hand, what I had from Stone Age was so utterly life-changing that I don't think there would have been room for any other crop circles that year. 1997, I went back. I've been back every year. And some pretty exciting things took place there. Please look at, if you've clicked on July 1997, and click on Alton Priors. It's on the top row. Now take a look at this. Hopefully you're with me and you can see this. I got into this one. Wow. Bear in mind, when you look at this second picture on this link, on the top you've got the crop circle itself. Can't even call it a crop circle. It's a magnificent mandala of epic size, 300 feet in diameter, with the perfection of these rings that are perfectly designed. All right. You see the road in the second picture, and this location is a hill. You can see this from the road in Alton Priors, and I remember driving by it because I was dealing with getting my own car, driving on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of the car, and looking for crop circles as a beginner, let's say, as a croppie newbie, and bam, I come around the corner, and this gigantic formation is sitting on the field looking at me. Can you understand the impact of this? I hope so. I stumbled on my way up there. Some of these hikes are pretty difficult, but this one wasn't. It was, as you see, rather close to the road, and got into this one and had a completely different experience than my first. This was like being on some sort of a cosmic cloud. Getting in, honoring the lay of the crop, as you see this one, the lines are very narrow, very thin. So in the beginning, when you first start going to crop circles, it's easy to blunder about and damage the crop. But I had been told and warned, so I was doing my best to walk graciously, gracefully on these lines. It was very difficult because, as you see, they're very, very thin. And when I was transported into the center of this formation, it was just like sitting on some sort of a cloud. And if you look at it long enough, you will also start to see a play of multidimensional, or let's say 3D alterations of the design, as if it's some sort of multidimensional mandala, especially when you're looking at the second image more than the first one. This was another formation that I asked, okay, even if a team of master geometrists, engineers, architects, and scientists got in there with the ultimate tools, someone explain how possibly such a design, 300 feet in diameter, perfected geometry, could have come down in the dark of a four-hour period. And I'm ready. I'm more than ready to hear it. I'll tell you that. So this was my return to the fields in 1997, and I wasn't going to be disappointed. Let me take you now to the next formation. Click back on in the upper left-hand corner, 1997, please. And you will go to Silbury Hill. I've got a lot to say about this formation. My mother came with me this year. My mother was, I don't want to say ailing, but she was 75 maybe. She was having trouble. She had age, and she was diabetic, so she had issues, health issues. And she said, whatever is so important to my daughter that it's taken such a hold on her, I want to know it. And I said, Mom, some of these crop circles require really long hikes. She said, I'm there. If you can get in, I'm getting in. She was my hero. So She came in with me. Now, take a look at the picture, not the top image. It says elaborate Coke fractal snowflake design under it. And then the picture under it, which has this beautiful image of Silbury Hill. Look at the Silbury Hill, by the way. For anyone to even suggest that it isn't a man-made mound is ludicrous. It just does not fit in the environment, these prairie and flatlands. All right, and then beneath it is this extraordinary formation. It is a fractal design, which I don't have time here to describe to you, but you, if you don't understand what fractals are, please investigate, because it is a basic tenet of sacred geometry. But more important is what happened in there. I go in with my mom, 75-year-old person with difficulty. We get into the formation, and there were several photographers inside. There were black helicopters flying overhead so loud and so close to us that we couldn't even hear each other speak. In fact, I remembered in my rebellious style, which you all know me for, waving them the peace sign with both hands and laughing a lot. Because I don't like that. But they finally blew away, and two people that were in there had a dog, and the dog would not enter the borders of this formation. They kept calling him in. He wouldn't come, and he was whimpering. He just wouldn't cross the border. And my mom, who was grounded beyond repair and not about to invent anything, said, "Honey, I feel like I need to sleep." I said, "Okay." And she laid down on the ground and went into a deep, deep sleep, which was pretty strange. At this point, after the helicopters flew off, the photographers there was one with a video camera and three or four other people with cameras. They all started barking because nothing would work. The camera equipment was dead and remained dead the whole time I was in the formation. So this was my first time experiencing the electromagnetic alteration inside the space. I don't know how to explain it, but I can tell you that for the 2 hours that I was in this formation, nobody could take a picture. Nothing electronic worked. And I think that that is something very important when we discuss the crop circle phenomenon. Coming out, my mother finally woke up and came out, and she literally leaped out of the field. I still can't imagine. She just said, "I'm full of energy," and she beat me out of the field. She got some sort of a huge energy charge in there, and that was very extraordinary. So I'd like you to take a good look at it, because sometime later, another development appears that is a follow-up to this formation. And let me pull it up for you now. Just a sec. All right. Please click now to 1997, August. And look at Milk Hill. How extraordinary is this? Just a few weeks later, the intricacy of that design is repeated and enhanced. The design of this fabulous fractal coming down, and then a fractal within the fractal that you see, all of that, the design in the center is standing crop, whereas everything else is down, crop down. And be sure to notice, by the way, the way the crop is down. There is a design within the design. You can see the dimension of the six-pointed stars, the Merkaba design within each of these triangulations that is the outline of this. Isn't that amazing? I hope you're just amazed. So this is what really gets us excited, when you see not only that the formation has been developed even more, but such an immense formation repeated in another field and built upon. I find this extraordinary, And then be sure to look at all of the, what we call scatter of the little circles that surround it. I'm not quite sure the number. I think I've got it written down somewhere, but I'm sure that it's written in her information. So this was under the White Horse, by the way. And the energy here also, I got into this one as well. It was even more powerful than Silbury Hill. Well, 20:50, the time says. I've got 5 minutes to wrap up my talk. I have so much to share with you. I want to talk to you about the Chilbolton crop circles. It's going to have to wait till the next time. But my point here of taking you through these is to talk to you about trends, about messages, about things and energies that come down year after year. And the next years come down symbols that appear to be showing us some sort of machination, wheel spinning, really just so hard to decipher. And yet you feel them when you're in them. You feel the information coming to you in viscerally, physically. Even if you're not a big psychic, most people report feeling intense shifts and changes as they go in and out. I'm gobsmacked that I'm out of time. You cannot imagine. We're boy, are we in a time shift? So I'm going to have to close here already. I had so much more to tell you, but I guess what I'll do for now is invite you to really explore the pictures you're seeing on Lucy's site and investigate those that really appeal to you the most. I will come back on with a few more. If you show me your interest, I hope I haven't in any way bored you because of taking time to go through step by step. But I just feel it's time for us to do that and share together all of the intricacies of these individual formations. And what I can do is tell you what I experienced in those that I've been in. And but I can elaborate and contemplate some of the ones that I haven't been in, like the incredible Chilbolton formation and the alien face with the disc, which we'll talk about in part two. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing. Try to understand that in that formation, which I don't have time now to elaborate, but I will next time. This little alien face is holding a disc, and the disc is in binary code. And this binary code, somebody said, I wonder if there's something in it. And that is the message that came out of it. And this face came down in 2002, so I've jumped ahead of myself. At the Chilbolton Observatory, which is a highly guarded telescope observatory in Hampshire, it's the cutting edge of world-class atmospheric science, radar, and radio research. So you don't think it's left unguarded. It's surrounded by fences, and yet these two or three important formations came down within those walls. So I'll be talking about that in part three, which will have to wait. Part two, which will have to wait until 2 weeks after I have the world-renowned Dolores Cannon on with me. That's going to be a great show. It's going to be wonderful talking to somebody who thinks outside the box in the same lines as I do. So I hope you'll tune in. It's time to go. I hope you enjoyed what I started to tell you, and I have much, much more to share. So here we are. It's 8:54 my time. It's time for me to thank you for tuning in. As flabbergasted as I will remain about how the time flew on this one, thank you all for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box. Man, is it ever time to do that? And with that thought, this is Patricia Corey, loving you all. I send you love and light. Don't forget to stay in fearlessness. Raise the flame. Stand tall like a mighty oak tree against all that which is not harmonious. Be the light you seek on this planet. and know that you are surrounded by light as you walk your path. This is Patricia Corey signing out. Nanu, nanu.